conditioned soul who sees only immediately beneficial fruitive activities and their results, which are divided into three groups by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Saha, he. Esha, this. Saharta, the living entity falsely seeking sense gratification. Artapara, intent upon gaining wealth. Paribrahman, wandering all over. Bhavatavim, the forest known as Bhava, which means the repetition of birth and death. Yati, enters. Na, not. Sharma, happiness. Vindati, obtains. Jada Bharata, who had fully realized Brahman, continued, "My dear King Rahugana, the living entity wanders on the path of the material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world under the influence of the three modes of material nature, Sattva Guna, Rajoguna, and Tamoguna, the living entity can see only the three fruits of activities under the spell of material nature. These fruits are auspicious, inauspicious, and mixed. He thus becomes attached to religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the monistic theory of liberation, merging with the Supreme. He works very hard, day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters a forest to acquire some articles to sell later for profit. However, he cannot really achieve happiness within this material world. Purpur. One can very easily understand how difficult and unsurmountable the path of sense gratification is. Not knowing what the path of sense gratification is, one becomes implicated in the repetition of birth and accepts different types of bodies again and again. Thus, one suffers in material existence. In this life, one may think that he is very happy being an American, Indian, Englishman, or German. But in this next life, one has to accept another body among 8,400,000 species. The next body has to be immediately accepted according to karma. One will be forced to accept a certain type of body, and protesting will not help. That is the stringent law of nature. Due to the living entity's ignorance of his eternal blissful life, he becomes attracted to material activities under the spell of Maya. In this world, he can never experience happiness, yet he works very hard to do so. This is called Maya. Brahmana uvacha duratyaye dvanya jaya niveshito rajastamak sattva vibhakta karmadrik saesha sartorta parak paribrahman bhavata vimyati na sharma vindati Chada Bharata, who had fully realized Brahman, continued, "My dear King Rahugana, the living entity wanders on the path of the material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world under the influence of the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, rajoguna, and tamoguna, the living entity can see only the three fruits of activities under the spell of material nature. These fruits are auspicious, inauspicious, and mixed. He thus becomes attached to religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the monistic theory of liberation, merging with the Supreme. He works very hard day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters a forest to acquire some articles to sell later for profit. However, he cannot really achieve happiness within this material world. So I intend to speak about karma, which is described here, fruitive activities we experience in this material world, karma and lila. Lila are the transcendental activities or divine sports. We call it pastimes. Srila Prabhupada translated like that, pastimes, that the soul experiences in the spiritual world in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, or any of his expansions in the Vaikuntha planets. According to the relationship that the soul has with the Lord. And actually, in order to move from karma to lila, we need to learn how to perform a karma as contradictory as it may sound. A karma means no action, inaction, and perform in action. Perform in action. It seems contradictory. Or we could say to act with a karma consciousness, to act in God consciousness. And the Bhagavatam and Vedic scriptures are meant to take us from, as the Vedas say, tamasimak jyotirgama, take us from darkness to the light. Take us from suffering to divine bliss. Take us from hard work to divine play, to transcendental enjoyment in relation to Krishna. And this is what Srimad Bhagavatam describes. The question may be raised, why then, like this chapter we'll see later on, compares family members to all kinds of wild animals, tigers jackals. This is like saying, it sounds like cruel. How you can compare your wife and your children to wild animals? That's actually cruel. This is how it will be interpreted. So what do you think? Why it is so? If the Bhagavatam is meant to bring us to a transcendental level of experience, why seems to be pointing out in a very heavy way, very cutting, like with an axe, against life in this world? Any thoughts? Why Chada Bharata is speaking strongly, or is about to speak strongly to Maharaj Rahugana about these things? Good, good, very good point, yes. Beyond? Sorry, I can... To bring the person who listens or ourselves as listeners beyond the illusion of this world, very similar point, that we tend to do the wrong thing, and therefore unless sometimes very dramatic comparisons are given, we do not get the point. It doesn't register. In Argentina, they say the coin, if you go to Argentina, that's not even in Spain, we don't speak like that, but they say the coin didn't fall. When you try to make a phone call, now you don't use coins anymore, very rarely. But sometimes you try to make the phone call and it doesn't fall the coin. So it's very difficult to, we cannot do it, and okay. So it means we may hear, but it doesn't register. So therefore, sometimes a heavy message or a heavy presentation of the message in a particular context that also has to be considered. We need to look at the sociocultural context in which Yada Bharata was speaking to Maharaj Raghugana. And that's not to say that in the present context it's not necessary, but if we feel that culturally these things are difficult to swallow, then please take into consideration the specific context in which was spoken. Yada Bharata was a great sage, sadhu. He was beyond any conventional rules. He didn't care what people will think of him. And Raghugana, the king, he seemed to be very attached to things of this world. And therefore, Yada Bharata spoke in a very strong way. But also, ultimately, the Bhagavatam is spoken for the benefit of all living beings, human beings especially, in all times. So we need to look at what is the message. For example, we also find in the beginning of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Shukadeva Goswami starts answering to the question posed by Maharaj Parikshit about what's the duty of the human being, and especially the human being who is about to die. And when Parikshit asked the question, he said, please tell me what that person should hear about, but what should glorify, to whom he should glorify, what should he remember, who should be worshipped, and also what he should not do. It's interesting that he specifies what not to do. Tell me what to do and what not to do. And many times we need to be reminded of what not to do because we tend to do it. It's like that. We tend to act in wrong ways. And we need to be reminded. Of course, in Kali Yuga, we many times are so unfortunate, but that the more we are told, the more we do it. Isn't it? Sometimes in Kali Yuga, we are stubborn. Somebody will say, don't do it, then we will do it. But in a period where respect for the sages, for the elders of the community was there, whenever an elder will say something, then the person will take it seriously. This must be important. I should be careful in avoiding this because this, also because of the reasons that were explained, but even if only because the elders said it, it will be taken seriously. So the Bhagavatam is for those was spoken for people who are serious about advancing spiritually. And therefore, again and again, it goes back and forth. What are the consequences of acting in karma consciousness with the mentality of exploiting the material resources, exploiting life, our senses, other people? And what are the results of transcendental life? And the ideas take us from that material situation to the material situation of karma, to an experience of our eternal relationship with Krishna, which is the source of divine bliss, divine experience. And in this fifth canto, sometimes I was looking at what Srila Prabhupada called it, what title did Srila Prabhupada give to the fifth canto? And this is the creative impetus. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, the 10 topics are described, and there are different ways of explaining the 10 topics. Like the Bhagavatam speaks about Atrasarga Visargas Chastanam Poshanam Uttayaha Mamvantare Shanukata Niroddo Mukti Rashraya. Creation, secondary creation, the planetary systems, the protection given by the Lord to the conditioned souls, and especially to his devotees, to the souls also, but to his devotees in a special manner. The creative impetus or material desire, the manus or and the periods they rule, the transcendental activities of Krishna and his devotees, Ichanukata, annihilation of material existence, which is the annihilation of the universe, and also annihilation of the conditioning of the soul, of the embodied soul, mukti, liberation, and ashraya, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the real shelter, who is the supreme shelter. All the other topics, Shukadeva Goswami says, all the first 9 topics are explained in order to illuminate the 10th. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the supreme shelter of all of everyone and everything. So this fifth chapter, sometimes here Prabhupada translates it as the creative impetus, and some days ago Shivaram Swami Maharaj in a class he pointed out how Srila Prabhupada gave the titles of the 10th cantos. I never paid attention to that, and when he pointed out, he gave the titles to the 10th canto starting from the first canto, the first topic, and it moves on. Then we have other commentators of the Bhagavatam given the titles to each canto, starting with the third canto, because in the second canto, at the end, is when the 10 topics are presented. And according to that, we could say that this fifth canto is related to sthanam. Sthanam means the planetary systems, or means the condition of the living condition of the living beings. Where do we live? How do we live? What is our environment? And Shukadeva Goswami explains that actually the real sthiti, the real situation, is Vaikuntha Vijaya, the victory of the victory of the Lord. It means to acknowledge that Sri Krishna, he is the enjoyer, and we are his parts and parcels, meant to facilitate, to assist him in his enjoyment. And when we do that, we are connected to him, and then we enjoy. And the classical example given in the Bhagavatam is like the finger, the hand, feeding the stomach, feeding the whole body by supplying food to the stomach. Naturally, that part of the body will receive nourishment by serving the whole body. So naturally, when we serve Krishna, we acknowledge his victory and we establish his kingdom here. We do not try to enjoy the kingdom of God without God, but rather we worship him, sing his glories, glorify him. We learn, we actually love him, or we practice to love him when we are not there, because for the embodied souls, it seems not to be so easy in one sense to love Krishna. We have become so stuck in the material world that it's not so easy to love Krishna, and we give priorities to many other things. Even though loving Krishna in another sense is very simple, it's even a child can do it. A child very naturally can participate in serving Krishna and glorifying Krishna and loving Krishna, acknowledging Krishna's position as supreme. Then Srila Jiva Goswami explains that actually all the topics are all over the place. So we see that there are different explanations given by the acharyas in different contexts, and doesn't have to be either or, but all of them are relevant and can be applied. I'm quoting the second one because may be relevant for this chapter, which describes the planetary systems, according to some perspective, the structure of the universe, and then the different conditions of life. And therefore, it is explained, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And taking that explanation, it can be said that therefore it is explained in such a graphic form with very intense comparisons, so that we think, what's happening? Why such a heavy comparison? It's like a raw food diet. When somebody, nowadays it's this, there are many experts in certain health traditions that they say that the causes of many illnesses is that we do not eat enough alkaline food, and we take too much acidic food, and therefore we need to eat green, isn't it? That's a lot of green and fruits and raw food. So there are different types of diets. And maybe these diets are not so pleasing for the tongue, to the palate. But sometimes the doctors will prescribe, when there is a very heavy illness, such as, say, cancer or similar such heavy illnesses, sometimes certain health practitioners will prescribe such a diet, raw food, or very strict diet. And that's advisable for the sake of, in order to help the person to recover his health. Otherwise, it will be very difficult. It's an emergency. So sometimes explanations about the material world, which sound very heavy, are given to help us to understand what's the situation. The situation is that we come here to enjoy, but actually we suffered. The metaphor given here is that there is a merchant who enters into the forest and he's going to make some money. He's a businessman. He enters into the forest to collect certain goods to make some money. But then in the forest, he has to meet all kinds of difficulties. There are plunderers, for example, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled, it was Madhavendra Puri. When Madhavendra Puri, also when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled throughout the forest in India, both Madhavendra Puri and the Lord, they were assisted by some soldiers sent the situation is a bit different, but the principle is the same. They were assisted in different ways, or by the Lord himself. In the case of Madhavendra Puri, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him, you can put the sandalwood. Madhavendra Puri was carrying sandalwood for his deity in Vrindavan. And the Lord appeared in a dream and said, no need to bring it because it was dangerous. That was the idea. You can offer this sandalwood in the temple. Where's the temple of Gopinath? Gopinath in Remuna was? So you can offer it to Gopinath. And I'll accept it. It's the same. There is no difference between Gopal and Gopinath. Sometimes we may argue about our the deity in our temple, the deity in another temple. And there is room for personal relationship with a particular deity in a particular temple. But yet, he's the same Lord worship in so many other temples by devotees. And in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king sent soldiers who will ensure that there will not be disturbances. Sometimes there will be people who will rob the pilgrims or give them trouble. So what to speak of a merchant who goes to collect some goods, sandalwood, wood, for example. He can be robbed at any time. So the senses are compared to plunderers. What do they steal? They steal our human energy, which is meant to recover our condition of lila. Lila means being entered into the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. As servants of the Lord, we enter into his pastimes. And we experience divine bliss. By serving him, by assisting him in so many different ways. So in order to move from karma to lila, scriptures teach us the path of karma yoga and bhakti yoga. Karma yoga is the beginning of bhakti yoga, which actually produce akarma. Akarma means that all our activities, the activities we perform in this world, we do not perform them anymore for our satisfaction, but we perform them for the satisfaction of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord and his devotees, for the pleasure of the Lord and his parts and parcels, the other jivas. And this is the process of, this is the principle in Upanishad explained as the Ishavasya principle, to acknowledge that everything belongs to God. Everything animate and inanimate belongs to God. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. And tena tyaktena bunjita makrida kasyas vidyanam. And we shouldn't take more than we need. Whatever extra we have, we should use it for the service of the Lord. And then it says, if a person acts like that, kurvan neveha karmani jiji vichek shatam samaha, it says that na karma lipyate nare. If such a person who acts like that can live for hundreds of years, or Prabhupada translates lifetimes, and will not become entangled in the laws of karma, will be actually separate from the suffering conditions of this world by that divine consciousness, or will be, we could say, if we don't want to paint it black and white, will be gradually disentangling himself or herself from that condition of material suffering, of material work, and entering into serving the transcendental Lord. Then we will be able to relish his transcendental pastimes. So this is the idea. And of course the Bhagavatam describes in so many ways the transcendental activities of the Lord, how he protects his devotees. Since the very beginning, Krishna appears, even before the key question of the text has been asked, the Lord appears and protects his devotees. He protects the Pandavas. He protects Parikshit Maharaj in the womb, even before he asks the question. He protects Bhishma Dev, even though he was fighting in the opposite side, but because he was a devotee, the Lord was there for him at the time of death. And we see how the Lord again and again is offering protection to his devotees. And he is performing many wonderful activities, which actually are the activities of the spiritual world. And he brings them here so that we become attracted and we want to go there. Srila Prabhupada writes in some purports in Bhagavad Gita when describing the spiritual world, like the material world is described here as duratyaye, very difficult. Padam padam yadvipadam, at every step there is danger. And in the spiritual world, at every step is like a dance. Every word is a song. Poetry has to be used in order to give us some feeling for it. And poetry actually, in one sense, will fall short to really discover, to really describe what's happening. Will give us an idea, motivation to go there. But then when we reach there, as Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur shows in Madhurya Kadambini when he describes the meeting the soul has with the Lord, when achieved pure love of Godhead, when we are there, further poetry has to be used to deny the previous poetry which was incomplete. And then he starts to apologize to the Lord. My dear Lord, I am very sorry that I was glorifying you. And when I was glorifying you, I thought I was really doing very nicely. But now that I see you, I see that my comparisons, my poetry, was like comparing a mosquito with Garuda Dev. Or comparing a chickpea with a gold mountain. And in this way he is glorifying the Lord and expressing his attraction to his transcendental beauty. So the Bhagavatam is meant to, the Lord is showing his transcendental pastimes to attract us to go back to him and to participate in those pastimes. And this is possible through the process, especially the process of hearing, chanting, and remembering the Srimad Bhagavatam, the teachings given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And not just the 10th canto. Prabhupada is very emphatic, emphasizes very much this. Also, the descriptions about creation, also the heart sections, like the heavy comparisons that for our, when we project our modern views into the into these descriptions, sometimes may clash. We need to listen all of this, because this will help us to get cure from the karmic reactions, to enter into the akarma mood, offering everything to Krishna, and coming to the transcendental service of the Lord, of offering everything, actions, words, and mind to the Lord, and then entering into his transcendental pastimes with the proper consciousness to be able to let them register within our hearts. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you like to ask questions or make comments. Well, the explanation given here in this verse, Prabhupada translates, is due to Maya. Let's look at the Sanskrit. You're a Sanskritist, so you can also help with that. But Prabhupada mentions about due to Maya or the illusion. Ajaya means by Maya. Good, thank you. The external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is that connected to Jaya is also victory, but it's long A. So how is it? Ajaya. Female goat. So why a female goat is compared to Maya? Why not a male goat? Somebody could say, you are chauvinist, you people. Why? Somebody could say you have gender issues, or why a she goat? So a she goat is another name for Maya. I guess because Maya is material nature, mother nature must be she. That would be a possible explanation we can give. It's mother nature. Father is masculine, mother is feminine. So it's due to Maya. So we do not see, we are covered. When we have, sometimes Prabhupada gives the example of using glasses with a different color glasses, red, then we will see everything red color. If we use yellow glasses, we see everything that color, and like that. So due to the illusion, we see the material world as very pleasing, and we do not see how hard we have to work. And that's not our exclusivity, that the material world is described like that. We find in the Bible, for example, in the Old Testament, the Torah, Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj is about to publish a book. I don't know exactly when, but he was working on that. It's a Vaishnava commentary on the book of Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes, his whole analysis of life is about we have to work very hard. We have to toil. It's toiling, endeavor very hard for whatever we want to achieve. And when we achieve it, generally, we have to endeavor to keep it. We have to protect it from the thieves. Even very, very wealthy people nowadays protect it from the banks. They deposit, they take shelter in the banks, keep the money, but then suddenly the money is not valid anymore. Like, you know, there is a prediction of the end of the euro, believe it or not, but this is made by a Nobel Prize, so from the academic point of view, it's bona fide. I don't know if it's true or not. I forgot his name. This is a recent prediction. His prediction is that the end of the euro. What is his analysis? Even I, who don't understand anything about finances, or very little, a little bit, but not too much, I can remember what will happen, according to him. He says, within 1 or 2 months, Greece will be expelled from the euro, using the euro, because they are doing too bad. Then, people, especially people who have money in the Spanish and Italian banks, big countries in Europe, many people, they will quickly take their money to Germany, because they will get scared that it's going to be very problematic. They don't want that their money, which is euro now, will be again peseta or lira, which is worth nothing. So, okay, let's take it to Germany. If worse comes to happen, then we are protected by the Germans. And so then there will be many pressures, according to him, pressures from Europe, and the banks will not give all the money. Even if the money is yours, you will not be able to take it so quickly. That's what this fellow said. I don't know if it's true or not, but he was saying. It's a Nobel Prize in economics. It's not Yadunandana, the monk who knows not much about finances. So then, according to him, what will happen, and he said this is not in years, this is in months, few months. So we will see it, if it's another Y2K, could be another Y2K for whatever purpose. But anyway, the point, and then he says, what the last step, what will happen is that there will be great pressures on Germany not to take all this money in their banks, and then Germany will have to choose between adjusting to the request of the rest of the EU or saying, euro, goodbye, kill the euro. That's 4 steps, very simple. So in the banks become durashraya. Here, duratyaye. Durashraya means wrong shelter. We take shelter of someone, some entity, some people, but they become durashraya, false shelter. So this is the material world. We take shelter of things which are not the real places where shelter must be taken. We should take shelter of Sri Krishna. He's the shelter. He's ashraya ashraya. He's the shelter of the shelter. Whatever we find as shelter in this world is Krishna's mercy. And we should remember that this is, he has made it a shelter. And he may change where the shelter is. So we shouldn't look to the external shelters, Maya, but we should look to the real shelter, Krishna, who is making the external conditions our shelter. When we take shelter of Krishna, then even if the external conditions change, we are protected. We are fine. Whatever it happens, we are okay. So it's due to Maya, to illusion. Even though we have to work so hard, but yet still we continue thinking, I'm going to enjoy. I go to the forest to collect goods. I will sell, and with the proceedings from the goods I will sell, I will really enjoy. But then what happens is that when I go to get the goods, so many things happen. And then when I get the goods, I go out, somebody comes and plunders me. So many things occur. We will end here. It's time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.